Thank you, Warren, and it's good to be back with you this morning, studying the book of Proverbs, the ancient wisdom of God. Interesting, isn't it? Celebrating the 50th anniversary of the moonwalk, and we all have a place in time that we can kind of see our lives in perspective. Man is basically the same. The eternal wisdom of God has remained the same. Man has not improved, although that was a magnificent feat. Well, we are studying what Dan Duncan told us to do, the Word of God, this morning. You need to hear that message. Don't leave the church without hearing that message this morning. It was fabulous. We are in the 15th chapter of Proverbs, beginning in verse 20. And here is an educational proverb for us. We have in these five proverbs three that mention joy, two positively, one negatively. We have joy in verse 20 and verse 21. And we have joy or gladness, they're the same word, in verse 23. Well, here is our translation. A wise son makes a father glad or joyous, but a wicked person despises his mother. Folly brings joy, gladness to one who has no sense, but an understanding person makes his going straight. 22. Plans are thwarted without counsel, but with a multitude of counselors, each plan succeeds. 23. An individual has gladness, has joy in an apt answer from his mouth, and how good is a word at the right time. 24. The path of life leads upward for the prudent, and so turns aside from the grave below. And finally, 25. The Lord tears away the house of the proud, but he sets in place the boundary of the widow. Here's how I'm going to teach these proverbs. 15:20. The benefits go to the parents. The benefits go to the parents. 21, practice, know-how to keep your day straight is wisdom. Practice, know-how is to keep your day straight. That's wisdom. 22, skill is learning from and depending on others. Skill is learning from and depending on others. 23, to reply. Keep the word of God in your mind. To reply. Keep the word of God in your mind. 24, the skillful life prepares the wise for glory. The skillful life prepares the wise for glory. And 25, the Lord is an invisible defender. Fear him. Here is 20, the wise son and the mother. Educational proverb, very close to 10:1. A wise son brings joy to his father, but a foolish son is grief to the mother. There is the prominent verb joy, to be cheerful, to make glad. Biblically, the binding relationship that brings us joy one to another is really biblical truth. It goes beyond the family, beyond blood ties. It is how one who is not a family member becomes closer to you than even a family member. Spiritual life. the Word of God, walking in the truth, following up rightly, translated in the Scriptures simply as walking in the truth. It's what bound the progeny of David to the covenant promises of the kingship. 1 Kings 2:4. May the Lord carry out His promises which He spoke to me, said David, concerning His sons. If your sons are careful in their way to walk before me in truth. The personal prayer of a righteous. Psalm 86:14. Teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. And then the Apostle John 3. 3 John 1:4. I have no greater joy than this, than my children are walking in the truth. What binds us all together? Walking in the truth. And look at the glaring contrast in the proverb, the familiar word despise. It comes from the motto of the book. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord, the beginning of wisdom, fools despise. There it is. Despise wisdom and discipline. They despise the skill for living. They despise the chief thing, the main thing. To despise means to make it worthless, to make it vile in one's mind. Exactly what David's wife Michal did as he danced before the ark, 2 Samuel 6:16, as it entered into Jerusalem. The Scriptures say she despised this word, same word, David in her heart. Here's our proverb. It's the mother that's appropriate here. Made reference not many times, mostly father alone. Sometimes, occasionally, mother alone. In the Jewish home, either father alone, mother alone, stands for both. They are both involved in educating the child. Here, the wicked child brings grief, constant frustration, disappointment, because he has no skill for living. Interesting, isn't it? The depraved generation that we have. We're so worldly. We worship talent, ability, but yet wisdom assures blessing. We pay heavy prices financially for education, but not education on how to live. No, education, knowledge. But knowledge does you no good if you don't know how to live. This is the skill for living. Apart from Christ, our children have no ultimate hope. With Christ, they have everything. Everything. Here's 21. Joy in a negative way. Folly brings joy to one who has no sense, but an understanding person makes his going straight. Here is straight, or the straight way. It is the life of wisdom, skill, the effect of the fall upon all of us, men and women today, created for fellowship, communion with God who made them. But look what sin does to us. Our emotions, illustrated by this word joy again, gladness, here, they're all out of kilter. We have joy about the wrong things. The proverb declares, the passion of a fool is folly. That's contrasted to our Lord Jesus, who made His daily survival obedience to His Father in heaven. John 4:34, my food, He said, is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work. This word joy, literally to be glad. Proverbs 10:28, the expectation of the righteous ends in joy. I read a lengthy essay back in January of this year from Dr. Edith Hall. She has recently written a book, Aristotle's Way, How Wisdom from the Ancients Can Change Your Life. I saw that word wisdom. I was attracted to it. I read the lengthy essay. I was particularly engrossed in joy and happiness from Aristotle. Real happiness, she writes, comes from a continuous effort, said Aristotle, to be the best possible version of yourself. What depravity. Here is the great intellectual of the world with a darkened mind, no spiritual understanding at all. The best possible version of yourself. There's no best possible version of yourself. You're going to die in your sins apart from Christ. There's no internal light in mankind. We by nature are completely lost. We must be regenerated by the power of the Spirit through the Word of God, or we don't make it. As I understand the apostles, the best version of ourselves, Romans chapter 12, is to be transformed through the Word of God by the renewing of my mind and being formed into the mind of Christ. That's what the apostles say. Let this mind be in you. Philippians 2. What mind? The mind of Christ, not my mind. You don't want Mike Black. Nobody wants Mike Black. The less me, the more of Christ. That's the only goodness that you see in me. It's all Him. Isn't that what the apostle meant when he said, to live is Christ? Yes. He is the foundation. He's the focal point. He is the mark. Back in 1989, I can remember a guy who did television commercials in Oklahoma City, and he wanted to be an actor and all these different things. And it made me think about this phrase, keeping your day straight. That's the word understanding in the proverb. It's 19 times used that way in the Proverbs. You either make your way straight with know-how, knowing how to do that, or you're basically senseless and you're blown to and fro as the winds of life carry you. This guy bought a workout place. It was really kind of a yoga studio. And I got a postcard in the mail. Now, a postcard is a white card that you used to put a stamp on and you could write on it. You probably never heard of it, but they really existed back then. And you communicated that way, very briefly. Postcard. I got a postcard. He said, I've taken over this studio. I'm going to have a class for men. 6:30 p.m. I said, okay, I'll do it. I'll do this. And so I get up there the first night to write my little check. And I get there early, 6:15. And I walk in. And this guy is sitting at a desk and he's surrounded by women. You know, it's a yoga place. Man, he said, come on in. I felt so uncomfortable. No, I'm going to wait out here. I sit on the hood of my car. I'm going to write my little check, and I'll come in when my class starts. I went home, told my wife that night, you got to be crazy to do that deal. Why, he's surrounded by women 20 feet deep. You talk about understanding, thinking your day through, keeping your way straight. And sure enough, year and a half, he was out of his marriage in a relationship with one of these women. What a fool. I have a friend who's drug and alcohol dependent. He had his know-how, his understanding to keep his day straight. He took a legal pad every day, a fresh legal pad, and he wrote down on the left-hand column all the verses of Scripture he was trying to memorize. Then he put a line down and his thoughts on those verses, anything he could think about. He did that every day, tore it up at the end of the day, dropped it in a waste paper can. Now, he's with the Lord today, but he knew how to keep his day straight, and that was his tool to do it. He told me, he said, every day I don't take drugs, alcohol, is a day of victory for me. And he lived it. He kept his way straight. That's wisdom. That's skill. That's understanding. Proverbs 14:8. The wisdom of the prudent is to give thought to their way. The folly of fools is deception. See, he deceives himself and he deceives others. He lies to himself and then he lies to us. That's the sinner. A liar inward, a liar outward. We're all skillful sinners. What do we need to do? We need to keep our day straight by constant understanding, know-how to pursue our day for Christ. Now here's 22. Now observe this. Plans is plural. Are thwarted without counsel, which is singular. But with a multitude of counselors, plural, each plan, singular, succeeds. Isn't that interesting? What's the proverb teaching us? As we grow up, parents fall away. We need more and more counselors in life. So what do the proverbs teach? Walk with wise, you become wise. Counsel of fools suffers harm. Iron sharpens iron. One man sharpens another. Plan. The word plan is by definition an exercise of the future. You're pointing to the future. Here's our word, thwarted, New American Standard, frustrated. You may have the translation disappointed. Literally, it means to bring to nothing. Nothing happens. 43 times this word is used. The top line here are the plans of the obstinate, arrogant, headstrong, exaggerated opinion of himself. What do we say about this person? Here's what we say. You can't tell them anything. You can't teach them anything. Oh, they're 10 steps ahead of you. They're always the smartest person there. They can't be educated. Always thinks of himself first and foremost. And ultimately, because he's isolated and alone, he'll fail. Why? Because he's dealing with a God of divine providence. God who owns the day, the tick of the clock. This man who is so capable, or at least he sees himself, that is in control of nothing. Not a thing. But your contrast, a multitude. The word found in 5:23, translated as greatness or multitude. Proverbs 5:23 will die without instruction in the multitude or greatness of his folly. So we need numerous counselors in life. Those who advise, those who give us a plan of action. It's necessary to compensate for our own weaknesses. Look at the local church, a plurality of elders. We work with one another as a group. Teamwork is the best counsel for wisdom. That's what the proverb is teaching. Walk with those who have skill. Develop their skills. Add to your own skills. People with greater gift. Or most important thing, don't be wise in your own eyes. That's trouble. Here's 23. An individual has joy in an apt answer. This is a positive joy. An apt answer from his mouth. How good is a word at the right time? The subject is joy. The things that delight establish the nature of truth. A byproduct of the skillful life. to be able to live in a fallen world, pronounce the truth about what we see, the way things are, and to delight others in the process. How do you do that? Well, the people that have the greatest advantage are people that have memorized big portions of Scripture. They have the Word of God in their mind, going at all times. The regenerate hear it, and they respond to it, and they delight, and it brings them joy. Dr. Johnson told us seminary students that anyone can quote the Scriptures to you. That's no big deal at all. But it's the real skillful person, like the Lord Jesus, that can say, yes, but the Scriptures also teach. You see, that's the apt answer. The Scriptures also teach. And that's the truth, and that's what we need to focus on. Look at the proverb itself. First, it's the wise and skillful individual. Composed, if we follow the proverbs, from the heart. That's where the mouth is concerned. That's the issue itself. And man, that individual, he's born spiritually dead. No life to him whatsoever. Regenerated, now he's open to the Word of God. Now the Scriptures begin to speak to him. And what do they say? They say, concentrate on me first. Not man first, not you first. Concentrate on me. And as you learn about me, all of your life will come into perspective. You'll really learn all about yourself, everything you need to know about yourself. But you first must know him and learn about him. That's good, solid theology. Look at this other observation, this apt answer. It implies a response in some form or nature to life, to reality. It comes from the mouth, which means it's from the heart. Skill emanated from the heart, the center of the person, and it comes in the form of an answer. You see that? That's reference to a true and right observation about life. Now, this noun occurs 6 times with reference to the skillful response, and it matches the subject matter at hand. Specifically, I think of Job, his friends, if you want to call them that. They ran out of things to say to him. They had no apt answer for Job. This righteous man, who they had known, was suffering horribly, and they had no answer for him. And so Job 32:5, they have nothing more to say. This apt answer is an effective word of response in providence and in time. The joy is how it comes at a correct situation. Notice your proverb, at the right time. Who is the most skillful of this? The Lord Jesus, of course. John chapter 8, he's in the middle of teaching. They break into his classroom as he's instructing. Stop the lecture. The Jews have brought this woman. We've caught her in adultery. It's all a scam. It's all set up. They don't care about the woman. The Jews were like the press. All they want is the president. Any way they can get him. That's the format here. Any way they can. And so they bring this woman. We've caught her. Now, Messiah, the law says that we're supposed to stone her. And you've been running around these streets telling us all about this love and forgiveness. Now, what are you going to do? Jesus bent down and wrote in the dust. We don't know what he wrote. But he stood up with an apt answer. Let him who is without sin cast the first stone. And dead silence. And then you begin to hear the thud of the stones fall out of the hands, starting with the elders and ending up with the youngers. That is the reply in the proverb. Assuming that one is skillful, wise, he would be listening to the scriptures and he would be storing up knowledge of the scriptures. That's Proverbs 10:4. The King James says, wise men lay up, store up knowledge. Peter would say it this way. 1 Peter 3:5, sanctifying the Lord Jesus in our heart, always ready to give an answer for the hope that's within us. So, be a good listener, know the scriptures, and be ready for reply. Here's 24, the path of life leads upward for the prudent, and so turns aside from the grave below. This word translated below is only found in one other place in all the Old Testament. Deuteronomy 28:43. The New American Standard translates the word lower and lower. The King James, down very low. This path, now again a reminder, there is no pathway number three. You're either on the path of wisdom, the skill for living, or you're on the path of death and destruction. Folly, that's the fool. You're either on a way of the fear of the Lord, or you are a fool that despises Him and His Word. And that is destruction, and that is what the proverb is saying with this word. The grave below. Life is both for the here and now, and then it's for eternity. Dr. Charles Howard, who frequented these halls and made a great impression on my life, called the Christian life the real life. Well, that's wisdom. That's the skill for living. The word leads literally is. Leads is. That means it's a state of being. When one has a relationship with God, he is out of the natural state of being and into a new and different state of being. This is what the apostle referred to in 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. What is that? That's the upward in the proverb. Upward in contrast to the downward. Eternal life, life with the Lord, is the skillful life associated in heavenly places. In contrast to the fool who chooses the fool's way, death, destruction. Now here, line 2 of the proverb, you see the word and so? What is that? That's a logical sequence in order, used in Proverbs 2:20. And so, says the proverb, you will follow in the ways of good men. Here, it's talking about the growing, prospering of the Word of God in your life, how it is transforming you, taking you over. Notice the effect, turning aside from the grave. You see that? We were destined for death and destruction. But God in His grace regenerated us, and now we are turning aside. We've seen that activity a number of times in Proverbs. Proverbs 3:7, the exhortation, don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn aside, turn away from evil. It's for the Christian, the daily decision to walk in the Spirit, turning from the grave, turning from death, turning from darkness, the place of no return. When life is over, there is no do-overs. The writer to the epistle to the Hebrews says, it's appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. No Jacob Marley coming back with chains rattling to wake you up about how you're living. No. It's what the rich purple-clad fool who ate his delicacies every day had to learn. There's no going back to your brothers and warning them. What did the Lord say? You have Moses and the prophets. You have the scriptures. You have some priest. You have some famous preacher. No, you've got the scriptures. Listen to them. Absorb them. They are going to carry you through this life. And by the grace of God, we have been saved from that dark and dank place. Well, we're out of time, not to get to 25 today. Fear the Lord. That's build your relationship with Him. That's the greatest way to live. You and I are in control of nothing. We're totally dependent on Him. But here's the promise. He's going to get us home. He's going to conform us to Himself. And then we'll be like Him for all eternity. And that, my friends, is the skill for living today. Follow it. Feed on it. And it is the greatest life to have. It is greater than any riches. It is greater than any prosperity. It is greater than anything man can do for you on this earth. God never has brought you to Himself to give you second best. He has given you Himself. He says to Abram, Genesis 15, I am your reward. I want no other than Him. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for this great word from this church that represents the Word, and for the wise and skillful elders that bring it to us continually. And they don't turn to the right or left, but they stay on the straight road, because this is the road that gets us home. It's the Scriptures. It's the truth. It is the skill to live by. Bless us. Bless each and every family, each and every need here today. And we ask this in the powerful name of our great Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.